Now it's time for the Sports Showcase with Bernie Goin here on WLQI. The Sports Showcase here at SP19 American Kitchen in DeMott is brought to you by Alliance Bank, CR Repair, Emerson Sondergrad, Fozzie Califf TV and Appliances, Reinforcement Design, RMT Transport, State Street Title, Suburban Propane, and of course, SP19 American Kitchen. Now it's time for the Sports Showcase with Bernie Goin on WLQI.
And this is the Sports Showcase right here on WLQI 97.7.com from the SP19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in beautiful DeMott, Indiana. A little bit of break from winter, even though it'll be a little bit brief. Bernie Goin here with the head coach of the Rensselaer Central girls basketball squad, Coach Wes Racke. Coach, couldn't join us 2 weeks ago. So glad you can make it out here for the final one. How are you today now that you've had a 2.5 weeks to kind of digest what happened? I'm sure still highly disappointed.
Yeah, it still isn't necessarily go away, especially when, you know, you got other teams that, you know, you faced and they're still playing. And it still doesn't take away the sting of what happened, and it just causes me to lose more sleep and try to figure out so it doesn't happen again. And you know, but the sun's up. You know, the Lord bless us to be here, so we're happy to be here.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. So I've always wondered this kind of myself, even talking to different people. You said in it that school is the South Central Satellites who are playing for a semi-state tonight. Are you kind of root for them because you did play them, or is it like, man, that's really frustrating because had we beaten them, we could definitely have been where they are right now?
You know, you ask that same question that everybody else asked me, and I tell them I don't root for anybody but who, you know, Lady Bombers, and that's it. It's just hard for me to root for somebody else, I guess, that beat us. I just have a hard time with that, and you know, who they're playing at that point, and just, you know, I know those coaches, and I know those kids. They've worked themselves hard, like we did. And they have the opportunity just like we did. But at the end of the day, it's still tough for me that's the competitiveness in me to root for somebody. But, you know, I wish them all, the rest of them that are still in the tournament, the best of luck. And you know, it does help that if South Central does win, that it makes it our sectional look a little bit, a tough sectional. And still, that's eight teams in that sectional, three games you got to win. Nobody else in the tournament has had to do that. So you better believe that the winner out of our sectional has been well-tested. So kudos to South Central and wishing the best of luck today.
How many times have you actually watched the film since then?
I've seen a few times. 12, a dozen times. It still doesn't change. I still think our game plan was really well. There's just the fact of, you know, the first – 7-8 possessions we had that just didn't go in. We had layups and they just didn't make them. So we just didn't handle it very well. I mean, the first quarter was 11-5, and you know, we make those points, we're up. So it just didn't get any better after that. And they, you know, credit to them, they came out and put the ball in the hole the second half better than what we did, and ended up putting us away.
Yeah, I would say the frustrating thing about that is so much it wasn't you ran into, not that they aren't a good opponent, but again, it was not like doing the things like you were capable of. And if you play your best game and they happen to play a little bit better, I think coaches walk away maybe still mad, but at least like they can deal with it. But when it's your own fault, you kind of sit there and
yeah,
you really, like you said, you're still watching the film, you know, 2 weeks later going, gosh.
Yeah. And that's what the frustrating part about it is that we didn't put our best foot forward. And that's something as a coach that I've got to get these girls to understand going forward, that every game you got to put your best foot forward. I don't care if it's the first game of the season, if it's the last game, you always got to go out putting forth your best effort. And don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I don't think the girls, I never question whether or not, you know, they're purposely looking to lose, because I don't think any of them want to do that. It's just the fact of, you have to step it up another level when the other team is as well. You can't play down to that other team's level or just halfway. You got to step it up to another notch, and we've got to figure out how to do that.
Well, Coach, I know you had some seniors on the squad. So I talked some about them, as that was for they all the last time they put on the jersey for the Bombers.
Yeah, it was. It's been, like you said, about 2 weeks, and it's still pretty emotional for me at times. And I'll try to get through this as quickly as I can. You know, the first senior I'll talk about is Sidney Van Meter, who played for me for 4 years as a varsity letter winner. She was a 3-year starter. You know, I had to go back through my books again, and I misspoke the last time I spoke on the radio, and we found 3 games from her freshman year that we held sectional. We hosted sectional that year, and you know, we as a host school have to have your own scorebook, and has all the games in that section on it. Well, I don't have that book with me, all the rest of my books, and there was 3 games in there that I was missing, and we found that book and went through, and you know, she ended up scoring over 1,000 points in her career in that sectional game, so she ends up with 1,006, so which puts her third all time in Lady Bomber basketball history there at Rensselaer. So we had the opportunity last night to honor her at the halftime of the boys' game, which was really cool, really unique, and it gave her the opportunity, the recognition that she deserves. You know, you're talking about a top 100 workout kid. She was honorable mention Hoosier Conference for a year. She'll be all conference this year in the Hoosier Conference. You know, she was third team All-State. She signed this week with IUN, so she's going to play collegiately in Indiana Northwest, and I'm excited for her there. To see what she could do at that next level. She's been the team captain, East-West All-Star, Northern Indiana All-Star. She's fourth all-time in career rebounds at Rensselaer with 437. She's just a phenomenal player that's going to be sorely missed. She set the bar high with the expectations that we have, and you know, she's going into occupational therapy. She's just going to do an outstanding job in society one day, and I'm blessed as a coach to have a player like Sydney on my team for 4 years to watch her mature. It was funny. We were talking with her dad the other day at her signing. We watched film from her first time playing all the way through, and you can just see the transition of a kid that was a freshman wet behind the ears and getting there and battling with big girls. And there was times like, oh, you know, she's immature there to where she was at now, leading a team and doing some great things. So, you know, I'm just really, really blessed, again, to have a player like Sidney Van Meter for the 4 years that I've had. The next player, and Lexi Healy, when I talk defense, when I took the job at Rensselaer and I came over and, you know, I met Lexi and watched her play her freshman year, played JV, and I seen her tenacity. And, you know, she's got all the attributes, all the characteristics that I want out of a player defensively and the mentality. And again, for 3 years now, she started for me for 3 years. We've kind of molded the defense around her and she's responded in a phenomenal way. You've watched her play. You've seen how many times she touches the ball in the game. If you sat with a clicker and watched how many times this kid touched the ball, either offensively or defensively, your hand would be sore because she's all over the place. She finishes her career with 421 points. You know, 3-year starter, 3-year letter winner for me. You know, and she's just a phenomenal kid, a great attitude. Positive in and off the classroom. She is in the classroom. She is at the top of her class, going to do phenomenal things at school. She signed a soccer scholarship to play with Wisconsin Platteville next year. So I don't know much about soccer, but I'm going to be a soccer fan because of her, because I love watching her compete. So at any chance and opportunity I get to go watch her compete, same with Sydney, I'm going to go watch and support them. She's going to study agribusiness and science, and you know, she's done some phenomenal things in her career. She, you know, second team at the Green Castle tournament. She was all tournament team at the KV Holiday tournament. We did it there the year before. She's just a great kid, a great teammate, and I look forward to you know, continue to say that she was on my team and I helped coach her. And you know, she's just a great kid to be around. She's going to have a great track season. She's doing track now. She does long jump and runs some sprints. So she'll do a great thing there in track this year as well. The next one is Kenzie Goodman, a great figure as far as what you look for in a teammate, what you look for in a player, a kid that's dedicated to the program and what it takes. Doesn't have all the physical attributes, but mentally and physically did everything and gave me everything she had every single day, and I can't ever thank her enough for that. And again, she's going to Purdue for occupational therapy, and she's going to do some great things in her life. I look forward to watching her. You know, she's a 4-H. She does some, you know, shows some lambs there, and I like watching her do that, and I'm excited for her. And she's a kid that I can always say that I was glad she was on my team. I never had to worry about her effort, never had to worry about her leadership, and she's just a great kid to have, and does a gave the epitome of what Lady Bomber basketball is all about. The last senior, as far as players go, is Hannah Redland. You know, Hannah is a hard worker. She gave me effort every time. She you know, she started at times last year. Here's a kid that came in as a freshman, not really sure what, you know, her role was at times, but as the seasons progressed and the years progressed this year, I think she fell perfectly into her role. She knew what she had to do for us and was willing to do whatever it takes to win and get us there. And, you know, she's no stranger to championships, being a runner-up in the state and track, and then the state champ last year in track, and just doing some great things, signed with ISU to get a ride, full ride to throw and for next year. And I'm excited to be able to watch and support her and her track events and you know, cheer her on to do those things. And she's going to study biochemistry with a minor in forensic science. So these four girls, as far as players go, are very intelligent in the classroom. That's one thing I'm very proud about, is their dedication to the classroom, their dedication to their education, because that's what's really important to me, is their education and that they take it serious. And all four of them have been leaders in the classroom, leaders in their classes, and at the top, you know, at the top of their class as far as rank goes. So all four of these girls will do great things in school. And you know, Hannah just works hard, has a great work ethic, and I'm happy to say that I coached her and that she was on my team as well. And the last one is my manager. She's a great kid, has a heart for Lady Bomber basketball. And you know, after that loss in our sectional game, I look around, you know, tears are flying, emotions are high, and, you know, she's even upset. And, you know, she bought all into it, Mackenzie Prater, and she's going to go on to study elementary education and be a teacher as well, and do some great things there. And I thank her for her dedication to the program as well. So those five, if you count the manager, five ladies will always, and I've said this before, always will have a table, always have a seat at my table in my house for the rest of their lives because of their dedication to me and their ability to continue the 4 years that they never gave up on me. I'm not hard. I'm hard to play for. I'm hard to please at times, because I want what's best for these girls, and it's difficult to watch them not succeed in their goals that they set forth at the beginning. But I know greater things on the horizon for all five of them. They're going to do great things in the future, and when they get married and all those things and have kids. And they'll do a phenomenal job raising them, because they know what it takes to be successful. You know, all four, the four girls had winning records all 4 years that they played. We've had four winning seasons. They're all winners. They know what it takes to win in life. So I'm excited for what holds for them, and I'm indebted to them for the rest of my life because of what they were able to accomplish as a group.
Well, when you say that they have a senior table, you're obviously, you're not just blowing small club. You're saying that after this, you're going to see one of your former players all the way in South Bend play a collegiate game. Like you said, you'll see the other one. So he is a man of his word when he's saying that, folks out there. And I mean, obviously it's tough right now getting through it, but at least, like you said, you can walk away and say they did give it their best. And something that stood out to me, too, in terms of like all of them, you said academically, and that's so true. Also, Cindy coming back from that injury.
Oh, yeah.
And not missing any games. That, to me, is so impressive to come back in a sport where cutting and pivoting and moving on and pounding your knees taken to be able to get through that, coming off major knee surgery last season.
Yeah.
That, to me, was very impressive. And didn't really miss a beat until come December.
And I didn't mention that, but thank you for reminding me. I mean, this kid went through surgery on, July, beginning of July, and never missed a game. Practices, we had to kind of limit her as what we could do to give her some rest in those knees. But she's in pain every day. She was, she'd tell you, my knees hurt, but I'm going. I'm going to do it. And earlier on, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what I was going to get. I talked with her, my assistant coaches. I said, here's the game plan. 1 or 2 minutes a game, and we'll work her back in to around Christmas time and around, sectional time. We'll get her at 100%. And we started that out in a few games, and then she just looks at me and says, I'm good. And I've learned over 4 years that I have to trust her. She tells me she's good, and she understands what we're trying to do, and she was all about it. Sometimes you just got to turn them loose and let them figure it out. And we did, and she did a great job. And that just shows her character and her work ethic. And what IUN is going to get next year is going to get a kid that's going to outwork anybody. So I'm excited for her.
Yeah, if I remember, like, by the North White game, which was like the fourth game of the year, I think she was already up to 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea. I thought when you said she had off-season surgery, I assumed that was like February. I didn't know it was all the way in the summer. So that's even more impressive than me to come back. And as someone who's had knee surgery, and it took me forever to come off of that surgery. I wasn't going to play a sport, but still just the everyday moving around and stuff took forever. And she was out playing at a major level. That was very, very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, never missed a game and practiced and did all the things that I asked her to do. And again, we had to be a little bit sensible about things, which is understandable. Heck, you and I both be over there begging for ice and things. Yeah. And she was, running with the girls. And when she couldn't do it, she felt bad. When we were running things in practice and she couldn't do it, and I wouldn't let her do it simply because of the stop and goes and the things, she felt bad. She was upset. She was mad. So she was never looking for the easy way out, and I attribute that to her parents and her work ethic that she does, and so I'm like I said, just proud of all of these girls, those seniors, and then the underclassmen. I'm excited about what next year brings. I'm excited about, and I hope everyone else is too. I hope the girls are, and right now they're probably enjoying their time away from me. And I get it. I understand that. And they're probably liking the fact that, some of them are, a lot of them are softball, tennis, track. All of them, I think, are doing something right now. And, some of them are getting ready to start AAU and things like that. So, they'll get some time away from me. But I'm looking and starting already for next year and excited for it.
And this is a sports showcase from the SP19. Restaurant at Sandy Pines Golf Course in beautiful DeMont, Indiana. Bernie Dorn here for the final time this season with the head coach of the Rensselaer Central girls basketball squad, Coach Russ Radke. Okay, yeah, you mentioned it. When do you guys kind of start back up for, you said all of them are in sports, so you probably wouldn't do your traditional, like, off-season stuff. Like, I know some coaches get right back at it end of March.
So
some kids aren't playing depending on the sport, but it can get tough, especially I know with softball, almost a game every night.
Yeah. So the state of Indiana now has where, it's limited contact. So I can't do anything with any girl until April 6th. If there is any of them out there that decide they didn't want to do this or do that, I can't do anything with them until April 6th. So they've got from now to April 6th to pretty much work a job or work on their own, which I encourage them to do, get a basketball in your hand, go outside the driveway and work on your stuff on your own. Get in the weight room, really hit the weights really, really hard. And you know, we're really pushing that. We put as many girls during the day in Coach Meeks' weight room class that helps out tremendously. So trying to encourage them to hit the weight room, trying to encourage them to do those things on their own, but also, you know, if they're in their spring sport, to be successful at it, give your all at it as well. So we can't do anything with them until April 6th. But, you know, we're putting together our summer schedule already, looking at, you know, some scrimmages, some games, open gym type stuff then. And right now I'm working with, you know, my 6th and 5th grade girls, you know, putting some time and effort in with them in the gym and practices and getting to play and watching the middle 7th and 8th grader in season right now. So we're constantly doing stuff with basketball. We never really take a break at all. But as far as the high school girls, you know, April 6th, I'm chomping up the bit waiting to see who's going to show up at the gym, be with us. So that's where we're at with that.
And I got to say this as someone who played. I mean, I know at first, like when you're, say, a sophomore or junior, you go, okay, we're done, good. But you will miss it the following April 6th as a senior. Or you'll miss it that it's April 6th and you won't be going anymore.
Yeah.
So take that time now to work on your game and try to at least, you know, put it, say, at the end, say when your time comes as a senior, hopefully it is raising a trophy up at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. But if it isn't that, like it is for all but four teams out there, and in your case, all but one team in your class,
yeah,
hopefully, you know, they're out there doing the work. I mean, obviously take a little bit of time to re-energize, but get right back at it because it goes by rather quick. I mean, I feel like just a couple days ago we were talking before the
absolutely
season, like that. It's just unfortunate, it's just, and it's so cutthroat in that sectional how it's just like that. Where will it be played next year, the sectional?
I'm not sure if it'll be back in Hebron.
Should it still be alphabetical?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to work out. I think you have to bid for it every time. So, unfortunately, I just got a text message. Hickman lost his match 8-6 today. So, you know, Eli Hickman's going down to state wrestling. So, you know, he's had a phenomenal career as a senior wrestler. So, but as far as the state goes, I'm not sure, you know, if Hebron will get it again, if another school can bid for it in our sectional, or if it's assigned by the state, I'm not, you know, sure about all those fine things. But, you know, at this point, we just got to, we know going in, it's not going to get realigned. We got to go three games again. This year coming up, it's going to be three games, girls. So you might as well get used to it. We're not changing. It's going to be, you know, North Judson, I'm sure, and South Central, both are going to be up at the top again. You know, they got the Fraser girl coming back. They've got the Tomlin and, you know, South Central with their success. So they're going to have all the hype coming in. And Winamax is going to continue to be there. And North Newton's improving. So everybody's, you know, everybody, it's going to be a dogfight. And you know, we've got to get prepared for it. And we just got to do what we do.
Yeah, it was because I remember when I was in school just before they moved everybody around because success factors and all that. It used to be everybody took their turn and it went alphabetically,
right.
But now with that, your section will probably be totally different in 2 years, especially depending on who does what next year because of the goofy stuff they throw out there. And sometimes I just really wonder what's going on down there. So for the time being, it'll be to be determined. But Coach, I want to say it's been great having you all year. Any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
And you know, I just
South Bend.
You know, I want to thank everybody that supported us all year long, from the administration to Mr. Hickman to the custodial staff to the bus drivers, my wife for putting up with me a lot. I'm a terrible loser. I'm a terrible loser, and she 20 years. She's finally figured out how to help, I guess, manage some of that. So I thank her, my four daughters. It's not easy being a coach's daughter. It's not being easy being a coach's daughter that coaches you. Not only because you get a lot of my rants and things, but you also got to deal with people in the community who say things too. So, you know, I thank my four girls for that and what they do and their dedication to the program. You know, I got two left, and they're both playing. And I'm looking forward to great things out of them. And you know, then we have, you know, my parents and my mother-in-law and the support she gives, and just you know, the parents of my players, I thank them. My coaching staff, I have a phenomenal coaching staff that I absolutely love and love being with, and trust, and know that they're loyal to me, and I'm loyal to them, and I thank them for their time and their families and their wives and their husbands. So I thank them for that. And lastly, again, the players, all the way through, from middle school all the way up, I thank them for coming out and trusting me and going along on this ride, allowing me to ride along with them. I thank them for that, and the good Lord for allowing me to have a job that I love. You know, I could be anywhere else, but He put me where I'm at, and I thank Him for that every day. So, and thank you for your time and effort. Thank you for your loyalty and your encouragement. And because there's, I'm sure it's not easy to talk to me after a loss, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your day and your life to get to know me and the program and what we're trying to do.
Well, the pleasure was all mine. And one final one I was going to say, maybe you can get that conference championship next year.
That would be awesome.
What a conference that is. You got two teams from that conference in the semi-state and both favored. And you think one of them, they beat the number one team in 4A in Illinois in Northwestern. So at the end of it, you could say that they can end up being the best team maybe in Indiana and Illinois.
Absolutely.
Like, it's insane how good that conference is.
What's crazy about it is Northwestern, all those girls are graduating, finally. So maybe we'll get a chance to get up to that upper top. And then Central, you know, they've got some girls that are graduating. So, you know, we're right in the mix of things. So we just got to continue to climb upwards and not backwards. But thanks.
No problem. And thank you. And that was Coach Russ Radke of the Rensselaer Central Lady Bomber squad. More to come on the Sports Showcase on WOKRI977.com.
RMT Transport in Morocco is now hiring for Class A CDL drivers. Drivers haul locally and are home every night. Benefits are available after a probationary period. Please call Tiffany at RMT Transport in Morocco for more information. 219-285-2307. RMT Transport in Morocco is now hiring for Class A CDL drivers. Please call Tiffany 219-285-2307.
How is Alliance Bank different from the rest?
We're secure. We provide solutions to our clients.
We have integrity. We stand by our word.
We're responsive.
We invest in our communities.
We're reliable. We believe in our team.
The difference is we are your community bank. At Alliance Bank, we're in this together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, online at myalliancebank.com.
Emerson Sondergrath Chevrolet Buick, locally owned and operated in Kentland, serving Benton, Newton, and surrounding counties. Service and warranty work is done on all makes of GM vehicles. They have a large selection of new and pre-owned vehicles in stock. Since 2003, they have sold over 4,000 vehicles. Let Emerson Sondergrath Chevrolet Buick on US 24 in Kentland help you with your next vehicle purchase today.
Back on the Sports Showcase from the SB 19 restaurant in beautiful DeMond, Indiana. Bernie Goin here with the head coach of the Kankakee Valley Boys basketball squad, the informative Coach Billy Sheffer. Coach, how are you today? Coming off a big win this week, so I imagine a pretty good mood.
Yeah, things are coming together pretty good right now. We won four of our last five, and defense is kicking in pretty. We're learning our rotations pretty well. So I mean, we're playing our best basketball right now, and we got a good one coming in tonight. So hopefully, hopefully we can continue that, because you know, with the draw being tomorrow, we're looking forward to getting on a good roll going in the section.
Yeah, tonight, I mean, I have to say, it's not hyperbole to say that you guys have one of the most important games in the state. I mean, so does, I would say, like, North White plays Pioneer tonight. That's another one for their sectional over in Cass, and you guys have it at the Hanover Central sectional. You get them at home tonight, at least, but what a big game it is. But I'm sure you also want to try to balance it, too, with, okay, this is very important, guys. You want to put your best foot forward. But I guess it's one of those, like, you don't want to just put it all in yet, because if you do come up, say, short by a basket or two, you don't want people to be down, because you very well have to play them again. So I'm sure you obviously want to win it, but it's not the end of the road tonight if you lose.
Well, exactly. You know, it's just it's a really difficult situation this late in the year playing a team in your sectional that you're pretty confident that if you want to win it, you got to go through. And, you know, just how much do you show, how much do you not show? And they're going to be in the same boat, too, with us. You know, we're probably going to get a pretty vanilla game plan from them as well. You know, we're going to go into it and do some, you know, do some of the things we do. Defensively, we probably won't show them a whole lot. Offensively, we'll probably do most of our stuff, except for, you know, I'm sure we're not going to run many set plays or anything, but we'll do most of our just motion stuff. And they, you know, just kind of get a feel for who they are, and then get a feel who we are. And, you know, it's more like a scrimmage game tonight, or at least that's kind of the feel, you know. It is an important game, I mean, but I think the most important thing for both teams tonight, you know, would be just to compete really hard and kind of get a gauge on what you're seeing. But we want to keep our momentum going too. So that's kind of important for us as well.
Well, you said you guys had Wheeler earlier this week, a sectional opponent, took care of business against them in fine fashion. You said you guys feel like you're playing your best. Would you attribute it to it's this time of the year, kids kind of know it's that? You've kind of fought through the injuries, got some set lineups, combination of both. What would you say, I guess, is the biggest factor why you guys seem to be starting to hit your stride?
I would say it's kind of a combination of a lot of things. You know, I think our team has went through kind of a metamorphosis about four or five times during the year with you know, various, you know, we had suspensions at the early part of the year. We had a couple of kids that walked away in the middle part of the year. Just kind of, you know, we blew the freshman up a few weeks after that. So it's just been an ever-changing situation. I think we just got settled, you know, and once we got settled, then it allowed us a chance to build a little bit. And we've just been building, and the kids have meshed together really well. And it took us a while to find some things that we did well, too, quite honestly. You know, it was a struggle early on from a coaching staff perspective, especially with all the changes that were going on, to find things we did do well. And we started finding some things we did pretty well. The kids bought into defense a lot more than they did at the start of the year. And I think all those things, you know, you throw them all in a pot and mix them up, I think that's where you get where we're at now. We're playing pretty decent.
Yeah, four out of your last five, you wanted one you lost to a real good opponent, as you had talked about in the Fort Slicer. So, again, and you guys still played well in that game. So, I mean, again, you guys, I would have to say, happy about that, because, I mean, it was a bit of a struggle there for a while, especially come early January and stuff. Would you say that maybe, I mean, you were sitting there, the guys were kind of feeding off the girls, with them losing that tough game a couple of weeks ago, would you say that kind of maybe focused them as well? Like, we don't want to have that feeling come the first week of March.
I think there was a couple of things that helped out during the girls' section of the week. Number one, well, first of all, a lot of our guys went to and supported. I think we probably had over 90% of our kids over there from a basketball program perspective. So I think the first thing that helped out was in the sectional championship game, they got to feel the atmosphere because there was a large crowd that night. And so I think they got to feel the excitement, which helped out. And they're like, you know, we want to be part of this. And then I do think, you know, the second thing that helped out or that's helping is the motivation of, like, yeah, we don't want to end it like their season ended. You know, we would like to hopefully be able to cut down the nets and feel the championship feeling. So, you know, but I just think, you know, I think our girls getting to Saturday night so our boys could be over there and experience the whole atmosphere and take it all in. I think that kind of really focused them as we look forward to our tournament here in a couple of weeks.
And this is the Sports Showcase from the SB 19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in beautiful Des Moines, Indiana, on WOKI977.com. Bernie Gowen with the head coach of the Kinky Valley Cougars boys squad, Coach Bill Shepherd. All right, Coach, tomorrow, the big one, of course, that you have the draw coming out. Obviously, I'm sure you don't care who you play. You know where you're playing. It's going to be Hanover. I guess the question I have for you is, because there's six in your sectional, I'm
correct.
Would you want to have kind of what the girls said and not have to play till Friday? Do you want to have three games to have to win? I mean, I suppose winning two is easier to try and have to win three, or does it really just not matter? And do you want to just?
I mean, you know, as a coach, you always have your preferences. I always prefer to have my guys take in the atmosphere and for a night and let other teams play. That's always my preference. If we could just let the other teams take in the atmosphere for a night, or you know, let the other teams play, and we would still go, take in the atmosphere and stuff. I think, you know, that would be my preference. Playing three games, I think when you're in a situation when you can win, where you think you can win the sectional, you know, whether you play three or two, I don't think that's a huge deal, though. You know, obviously, you have your preferences, where if you play on Tuesday night, you would like to get a situation where you would feel really, really, really confident that you could get to Friday night, you know, and because nobody wants to bow out on night one, you know. So I think, you know, if we get a situation where we play on Tuesday night, then obviously my preference would be, you know, there's a couple of teams in our sectional that aren't quite as strong as the others. You know, you would like to maybe draw one of them to have a little more realistic chance of moving on. But you know, I still think it comes down to when you have a chance to win it. You know, it doesn't matter a whole lot. I think if you, like last year, we were in 4A and we didn't really have a chance to win it, then you're hoping to draw the team or two that you can get a win against. You know, where now you have a chance to win it, it's not as important. You know, you probably wouldn't want to play the three toughest teams back to back to back. But other than that, you know, I think everybody's all in the same boat in regards to who draws who.
Yeah, I'm sure you're very happy about that you're down from 4A now, not having to play some of those schools, some really good ones up there. You got like a wild card team in Lowell who has a player that can just get hot, take him there. You got Chesterton who's defeated that school. You got Maryville, the list goes on and on. I mean, you have some really good schools up there, big schools too. So I'm sure you're glad that you guys have been moved down into 3A with a much better shot at it. And I can tell that you feel like your guys' chances are a lot better than last year, just based solely on not having to go through quite the meat grinder.
Well, yeah, and you know, when we were in 4A, I think the main difference between our school and a typical 4A school, because even when we were 4A, I didn't call us a typical 4A school. I just think the difference is just the sole numbers of people that are available to choose from for your team. And, you know, like, we have special circumstances with our kids because they're involved with many things outside of basketball, you know, whether it's, you know, a trade here or a job there or whatever. And you know, we in the school our size, where we don't have near the number of kids that go out, it's like, well, okay, we got to work around your situation. Where at a Valpo or a Maryville or whatever, where they
go three deep sometimes.
Yeah, where it's like, you know what, how about you just work at your job?
Yeah.
And we got three dudes here that are exactly like you that we'll just choose from them. You know, and we don't have that luxury where we have those other three dudes that are just like this other guy. And so I think that's the main difference between us and your typical 4A school. And, you know, and obviously now this time of year, you know, you got a little bit more excitement going into sectional, knowing that you got a shot. And I told the kids, I out of the six teams there, there are four that can win it. And it's just literally going to come down to which one of those four teams play that week. I mean, that's just, you're going to step up and play, or you're not going to step up and play. And then if we step up and play like we've been playing, then I think we got a good chance to anybody up there. And, you know, just, I guess it's kind of a wait-and-see game right now at that point in time.
And you guys, a big one, and two as well, it's senior night for you guys. So you think it'll be in the final home game of the season at Kankakee Valley. So I'm sure that the atmosphere ought to be pretty good there tonight as all the parents for the final time get to come watch a team indoors. And I mean, they're going to really regret that in a couple of weeks with the spring sports starting. It's still probably pretty cold outside, and you're bundled up in that blanket with sports that have no time limit. The fun of early March and even into really mid-April around Northwest Indiana.
You know, senior night's always a special night when you get to honor those kids one final time and you know, just kind of see them out, and you know, it's always a difficult situation to do. This is only my third year, but in most cases, you've been with the kid for either 4 years or you've seen them growing up through middle school and stuff. So, it'll be interesting. We've always typically played pretty well on senior night, so you know, I hope that that continues. Obviously, we'll have a little different lineup tonight because we're going to make sure our seniors get in there. We only have two, but I typically start one of the two, so we'll start both tonight. And, you know, we'll kind of see how that goes, just play it by ear after that. But, you know, it's also like, you know, we also have the backdrop of an important game to at least compete hard in and play well in. So, you know, we got to balance all that stuff out tonight. So it's going to make it real interesting tonight as opposed to maybe just your normal, hey, we're going to honor the seniors and then we got this social game to play. There's no social game to play tonight. There's a pretty big.
So I imagine you have a little bit of the same. So you're glad to only have one game next week, because this is something I took away too when I was a player. I understood kind of why coaches would do this test, but they would line us up, kind of go Friday, Saturday, then Tuesday, Saturday, or Tuesday, Friday, the final week. And it was all to get that, well, you got to play three games and stuff. But I kind of took it as, why couldn't we do that earlier in the season, have just one game to final week, not to get too rusty. But I thought as a player, it was far more important, at least for us, because it's such a long season, to only have maybe one game that last week to get yourself mentally set for the sectional. Or you could run into this case, especially with the younger kids, who go, man, I'm so done.
no, we have sectionals. So they almost look at it as, well, you know, if we don't get it done, oh, well.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but I've always felt like it's better to only have one game that week. And I'm sure, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I'm a definite fan of one game. You know, the last few weeks, we've only had, we had two games of girls sectional week, but after that, it's just been one game a week. And, of course, we had Wheeler Tuesday and then Saturday. But those are still pretty spread out.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I'll be real honest, I think the main reason we do that is we slow down in February in case of snow days. And, you know, it gives us some opportunities to have some dates where we have some, hey, we can make it up on a Tuesday night or whatever if we need to. So I'll be honest, I think that's the main reason we do it. But, you know, as long as there's no snow games or whatever, if I had a preference, I would prefer only to play one game that last week. Just to, like you said, not to get rusty or anything, you're still playing the game, but just to kind of, you know, to keep your skills sharp, but not overdo it as you get ready for sectional. Because I'll be honest, once the draw happens tomorrow, there's going to be a lot of people across the state that are told they're already checked out of the regular season, looking into the sectional at that time anyway. So, you know, just to, you know, that last game of the year turns into just a glorified scrimmage at that point in time, and then we just go out there and see what we can do.
Yeah, that makes a great point too. I forgot about that. And I'm glad they did do this. They moved it to only a week left in all the season, because I remember from a football perspective, we'd have a week 8, and it would be that Tuesday. You had no idea who you're playing now anymore. The last two Fridays, you really didn't, because you were already thinking about that opponent coming in, because you knew that opponent, especially if you had the back end one. We had that a couple of times. The week 9 into the sectional first round opponent. Same team, so you won't have Judson, obviously, in your guys' case. But yeah, at that point, not a whole lot of people are going to be paying attention. Hopefully, you guys are, but not the Blues. The fans certainly are going to be. They're going to pay attention either to the Wildcats or the Bearcats,
yeah,
or some other cat.
Well, and when we won sectional in 2008, we had a 5-game win streak going in the late last part of the year, and then the sectional draw happened, and we had Griffith and Judson after that. And you could tell our guys had totally moved on. We lost to Griffith and Judson. It didn't even look like the same team that had played the previous 5 games. And then obviously sectional set, and we were the same team that we'd been seeing the last 5. So it was just, you know, you could tell once the draw happened in LA, those guys were just like, whatever we're playing, but we got our mind on other things.
Yeah, especially say if you were able to conquer the Wildcats tonight, and we're obviously hoping you do, and then you draw them again, say like that Friday, like both you draw and. Yeah, obviously, so people's minds are going to move on. Well, Coach, any final thoughts before we wrap this one up? You guys got the big one tonight and then waiting on the draw. So what will you be doing for the draw? Just kind of hanging out, waiting for it to come out on Sunday?
We're actually going to, that's what we typically have done, but, you know, I think, you know, I told the kids earlier this week that I think it's time at KB that we start making this a big deal, you know, and so we're all going to go to our assistant coach's house, Greg Yergler's house in Counts, and we're going to have a dinner at 1:00, and the draw starts at 2:00, and all the team and coaches will be together, and we're going to make a big deal out of it, and you just hope that drums up even more excitement in the kids, you know, and they're going to see me, as I joked with them the other day, they're going to see me on my most nervous day of the year. You know, no matter what happens, draw day is my most nervous day of the year. I'll be pacing all day long until the draw comes up, and then I'll have a reaction one way or another, and they'll get to witness that, and then, you know, then it'll be time to get to work. And so, yeah, but that's what we're going to do tomorrow, so I think the kids are looking forward to that, too, getting together and having some fun, and really, I think that adds to their excitement, because they're going to, because they start at 1A, and you just keep building, and then all of a sudden 3A hits, and you're so anxious because you see, whoa, Couch drew, and
yeah,
whoa, Rensselaer drew, and, you know, so you're starting to see this type of stuff, and then all of a sudden yours hits, and, yeah, I mean, the excitement builds as you go on. So that'll be a fun day for us. It'll be something unique to the kids, too.
And I have to say, I remember that, and it's the strangest feeling. We all know we're going to the tournament, but it's almost like, until you know who that opponent is, you're not quite ready to admit that you're into it. And I remember that as a player then. You obviously knew the schools around you. Then your mind went blank after that because you had no idea who this was or that was, even if they had won the state title the year before. But then, like, in the case of, like, yeah, 3A, you need to see it again through 2A. Then 2 o'clock comes around, and now you're probably just jumping, as you said. And hopefully by 2:05, you know your destination. Or you know your opponent. You obviously know your destination.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a fun day, and I'm looking forward to having this is a great. I mean, we've come out with all the potholes in the road and the bumps in the road we've had. We've come really close to the group, so it's just another chance to get together and be together and have fun with each other before, you know, before the season comes to an end, whenever that is. Hopefully that won't be for a while.
Well, Coach, best of luck tonight against Antelope Central Wildcats on senior night. And look forward to talking to you next week as it could be you guys preparing for Hanover all over again or some other different, like, cat, we said.
Yeah, exactly. No, no. Well, thank you very much for having me, and we look forward to talking again next week.
And that was Coach Billy Shepherd of the Kinky Valley Cougars boys basketball squad. More to come on the Sports Showcase on WOKI977.com.
How is Alliance Bank different from the rest?
We're secure. We provide solutions to our clients.
We have integrity. We stand by our word.
We're responsive.
We invest in our communities.
We're reliable. We believe in our team.
The difference is we are your community bank. At Alliance Bank, we're in this together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, online at myalliancebank.com.
Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning is still your local provider for propane, with service you can depend on not only for propane, but even your water softener, drinking supplies, and salt. Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning, with locations in Remington and Winnemac to serve you. For your next home heating, drying, and water softener supplies, call Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning in Remington, 219-261-4286, or in Winnemac, 574-946-3053.
Tamont, you have a title company.
State Street Title.
Morocco, you have a title company.
State Street Title.
Lowell, you have a new title company.
State Street Title.
State Street Title knows your most valuable asset is your home. They know the stress, questions, and concerns when purchasing and financing. With dedicated professionalism, they will guide and assure that you are protected against claims or risks. State Street Title is here to serve you with three convenient locations in Morocco, Tamont, and now Lowell.
Back on the Sports Showcase from the SB19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in beautiful DeMont, Indiana. Bernie going here, waiting on the head coach of Rensselaer Central Boys Basketball Squad, Coach Jeff Fulver. He'll be on down in a few minutes. Until then, talk to him a little shop here. And today is one of those launching points of the season, and it is the beginning of the spring training games for baseball, and particularly on the north side for the Chicago Cubs, as they also launch Marquee Network. And how fitting, I'm sure a lot of, especially the diehard Cub fans out there, know the date 8-8-88. It was the first night game unofficially in the history of the Chicago Cubs, and it got rained out. Well, that can end up happening tonight with the launch of the Marquee Network, with the first spring training game / first game to go on the air has already been pushed back because of weather in Arizona. Yeah, it's about the one of the few times during the year that weather becomes an issue in the land of the desert and sun. But tonight will be their launch, and they put together some nice crew people on there. My issue is that with this launch of this network, is that now a lot of the Cub fans out there are not going to, at least right now, get to see that going on or get this, maybe even possibly see regular season games going forward. And it's just out of touch these stupid billionaires are with the people out there. A newsflash for everyone out there. They claim it. They don't. They don't give a damn about anybody out there. Tom Ricketts proved that with his phony press conference that he's getting good at these last few years. Remember, he got booed out of the building at the Hilton when he was talking about the Marquee Network, and they booed him out there, and he said, you won't be booing by the end of the year. Well, if they still can't get it, I bet they'll still be booing you. And we're talking about a team and an organization that, over the history of time, was the first to be nationally carried when they launched with, at the time, 7:20 a.m. on the radio, and then eventually with WGN when they became the product in 1948. And remember, like, you could catch a game anywhere in the nation as WGN had become a superstation, and that's how they built up a lot of their fans. Look, Phil Wrigley got a lot of things wrong. The longest tenured owner of the Chicago Cubs, P.K. Wrigley, who basically took over the team in 1932 from his dad, who had passed away, William Wrigley II. He would run the team until his death in 1977, and he did a lot of bad. We don't need to recoup all that. He did a lot of bad. But one thing that he did do right was put them on the national station. So despite
how crappy they would become under his tenure, especially after 1945. Remember this, from 1945, and the only reason they even made the playoffs that year was because everybody else, their players were too old. The rest of the players, like the Stan Musials from the Cardinals and the other squads, ended up going to the war. And they would have probably won the World Series had Hank Greenberg not been able to, when he was able to come back with the Tigers, they went to 7, lost in 45, and as we all know, it wouldn't be until 1984, which would be under an entire new ownership. And obviously, they kept it on WGN, the Tribune Company. They owned that station. And remember, the White Sox were kind of an example of this when Jerry Reinsdorf decided to go to pay TV back in the 80s with Eddie Einhorn as the owner. And Harry Caray leaving and going to the Chicago Cubs to help kind of reinvigorate them. And then the 84 season happened, and, you know, people re-fell in love with the Cubs and kind of have been filling the park since. And then these money-hungry grab bags came in there to get the team. And look, again, we all get it. It's a business. You want to make money and stuff. But it's just to sit there and cry for then. You're worth $3 billion. You bought the team for $848 million, I think it was. So now you've over tripled your profit of what you put in. Plus, you own Wrigley Field. I mean, right now, probably the Cubs could sell for at least $3 billion, I would say, what we've seen other organizations go for in sports, if not a little bit more. And now this organization with these owners are crying for and saying, well, you can't get your team on Comcast. Call Comcast up. Yeah, that just shows you how they don't care. And I love Crane Kenny, the business president of business operations with the Cubs, saying, we don't know what you're getting. You know to a T, to every nickel, penny, and dime that you're getting from these different payers, whether it was ABC, WGN at the time, Comcast Sports, now become NBC Sports Chicago. You know exactly what you're bringing in. Don't sit there and tell me you don't know what you're getting carriage fee-wise. People aren't stupid. Stop treating the fans like they're stupid. And as far as non-traditional cord-cutting goes, Dish Network and Comcast right now do not have a deal with the Cubs. Deadlines sometimes produce results, so maybe there'll be one around St. Patrick's Day or something. I don't know, though. Remember, it's still going down the Dodgers carriage disputes over in L.A. And, I mean, people, I think, are just sick of it now. You know, you can't just tune it on and turn your TV on and see the Cubs anymore like you used to, and it's a kind of a strange feeling. It just shows you how out of touch the owners are with the team. And then on top of it, to add to it, to not spend any more money on the product. And then now it looks like they're not going to trade Chris Bryant. I thought for sure they were going to, because they had to make room for payroll on the team. Maybe they felt like that would just be too much of a gut punch to the fans out there. But who knows what's going on with them. Already with the highest ticket price in baseball, what they're getting carriage-wise with this network coming in, despite crying a foul. They own the Plaza over there that brings in the money. I mean, they own a lot of, but it might as well be no longer Wrigleyville, might as well be Ricketsville out there. It's pretty ridiculous that this organization would go ahead and, again, continue and then treat it like a small market operation, like they pretty much have financially. And I mean, we're seeing this in sports with a bunch of these owners. Look at the Red Sox, the team known for spending money, traded one of their homegrown players in Mookie Betts. I mean, it's crazy out there. Really, basically, and the Dodgers are still somehow under the luxury tax, which is good for them, but, I mean, they took on that. And the Yankees are willing to go over it. The Dodgers were for many years. They're the only two teams, Red Sox for a little bit, and now they've kind of backed off that, that have been willing to go into the luxury tax while the rest of these teams act like they want to play with the big boys, but they don't. And it's funny because they say that they wouldn't want a salary. Deep down inside, they want a salary cap. Why? Because then they can control spending. And the union, I don't think, is going to let them have that. They almost went to another strike over it in the late 90s, into 2002, and that was saved. They ended up compromising on the revenue sharing and the luxury tax, which now has acted like the de facto salary cap. And that's funny that the players are finally starting to get the hint there. Because I really, truly don't believe the Grizzlies and the Bryants of the world thought that this organization, when the time came, would become so alligator arm with the purse strings. And I don't think Theo Epstein, for that matter, thought that was going to happen. So with that happening now and with everything going on, already with his 10-year, you know, rule that he kind of had, I definitely think by 2021 that'll be the end of it. And by then, who knows what's going to happen. So maybe it'll be time of some dark era to kind of watch what's going on Marquee Network. And not only with that being out, but we'll see what the players have in mind out there and the fans out there to watch this. But, you know, hopefully it'll be a better season. I don't know about that. I mean, I really don't think that I have that high of hopes for the Cubs. I look at a team that only won 84 games last year, and they did not really do much to improve the squad. They added a few bullpen pieces that might make them a little bit better. If Craig Kimbrell rebounds, then that's a good sign. But here's the thing, and I mean, this is becoming a trend now. Remember, the end of 18, he was not very good in the playoffs, and he kind of skated around that with, well, you know, I still got the job done, we still won and stuff. At the end of it, the now fired manager, Alex Cora, of the Red Sox, was not using you. He was using David Price, who's now with the Dodgers, and Chris Sale to close out games because he did not trust you anymore. You can say what you want. You were not there in the critical moment late in those playoffs to get the job. And he almost blew it to the Yankees, too. They kind of skated out of that series, or that would have gotten very interesting had that series gone to 5 games. But Kimbrell was terrible last year. Without having to work, maybe you can say that. Maybe it's just he's starting to get older now, folks. And if that's the case, the Cubs are in a lot of trouble because that's a lot of money now also down the drain. And they only spent that money last year because Zobrist went on hiatus dealing with the divorce. But, I mean, they cleared some money with Zobrist leaving, with Cole Hamels leaving. But now Chris Bryant got a raise. Javier Baez got a raise. So they're back up against it on the cap. We'll see what this team does. But, I mean, again, I don't think they have the pitching. And the offense continues to stagger. You're going to have now a leadoff hitter in Chris Bryant. We'll see how that works. I mean, he's not a prototypical leadoff hitter. But, I mean, he doesn't draw a lot of walks. That's just probably a leadoff hitter. He still has that uppercut swing. I mean, I don't think that's going to change. So you're asking a guy who's known to produce runs to try to get on. That's the whole idea of the leadoff hitter, is to get on base. And we'll see Rizzo in that too. I mean, maybe they'll just burn all their chips like 1 through 5 in a lineup. Then they'll get pretty lackluster after that, especially with the pitcher batting. Who knows what's going on there? We will see. And they have a guy who he can, you know, have guys running through the wall or whatever. And David Ross, he still has not managed a game. It'll be a learning experience for him. I don't know. And the division outside of the Pirates is pretty good. The Cardinals should be pretty good again. The Brewers might take a step back, but the team taking a step forward, I think, is the Cincinnati Reds. You know, it'll be interesting there. And then don't forget, if the Sox have the kind of season people are expecting on them, it could become pretty noisy in terms of the shouting going on at the team, not for the team, there on the north side from the fan base. But today, if you can get it, the Marquee Network launches with the Cubs, as you know, I guess you can maybe help them out, since, I mean, they're rubbing together pennies there at 1066 Addison Street, and at the time being right now at Sloan Park down in Mesa, Arizona. With that, we'll take a quick break here. More to come on the Sports Showcase on WOKI97.7.com.
If you're a sports fan or just proud of your school, Reinforcements Design has the spirit wear that says, I'm a fan. Stocking hats, t-shirts, baseball caps, hoodies, sweatshirts, and scarves, too. Reinforcements Design is your Bomber sportswear headquarter like no other. Plus, Reen has something for all the local schools. See Reinforcements Design today on 114 just west of the Jasper County Fairgrounds, Rensselaer.
97.7 FM, WLQI, Rensselaer. When you want a mechanic with experience you can trust, call CR Repair and Towing in Brook. From brakes to oil changes to transmission and engine work, they do it all. Whether it's auto, truck, or a mower you need repaired, call the experienced staff at CR Repair and Towing. CR Repair and Towing offers new and used tires for heavy duty, agriculture, and lawn and garden, and accepts all major credit cards. For emergency service and towing, call 219-275-6100. CR Repair and Towing in Brook. Experience you can trust.
How is Alliance Bank different from the rest?
We're secure. We provide solutions to our clients.
We have integrity. We stand by our word.
We're responsive.
We invest in our communities.
We're reliable. We believe in our team.
The difference is we are your community bank. At Alliance Bank, we're in this together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, online at myalliancebank.com.
Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning is still your local provider for propane, with service you can depend on not only for propane, but even your water softener, drinking supplies, and salt. Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning, with locations in Remington and Winnemac to serve you. For your next home heating, drying, and water softener supplies, call Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning in Remington, 219-261-4286, or in Winnemac, 574-946-3053.
Back on the Sports Showcase from ESPN 19 Restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in beautiful DeMont, Indiana, right here on WLQI977.com. Bernie Goin here, waiting on the head coach of the Rensselaer Central Bombers boys basketball squad, Coach Chad Fulver, as we get ready for the end of the regular season fast approaching on the boys' side. Girls' side tonight, with their today and tonight, their semi-state action is we will see the eight teams head down to Bankers Life Fieldhouse for next Saturday. And then the boys' draw comes out tomorrow. And then from there, the following week, we go right into sectionals for the boys. It's unbelievable that the winter sports are coming to a close here and getting ready for spring out there. And hopefully after next week, as the weather looks like it's going to take another turn again since it still is February, hopefully after that, it'll break a little bit. We know it'll still be chilly out. We'll get those rain days, but hopefully no more snow. And maybe possibly to start warming up, we can have more of a traditional spring instead of it starting around June like it's had to the past couple of seasons. But before we get there, one thing to talk about here is the league that never stops in the NFL. The owners, not unanimously, but three-quarters of them, some from what it sounded like, did it just because they didn't want to wait around or whatever. They ended up sending out their league proposal for a new collective bargaining agreement, and the players, Richard Sherman and some of them, J.J. Watt, emphatically saying a hard no to that. And what's come out of it is the talk of now each conference adding another playoff team, so seven teams. That would leave the one seed as the only one getting a bye. So if you're going to win the Super Bowl, you're going to have to win three games as opposed to two now, unless you're one of two teams. And then more unfortunately, and we'll get back to that thought in just a minute, as we'll be bringing Coach Jeff Oliver on here. And Coach, we're ready when you are.
I'm all set. Thank you.
All right, cool. So Coach, Pulver with the Rensselaer Central Boys squad, so glad you can join us. Last night had your crossover conference game against the Lewis Cass Kings, as well as a team that's going to be a sectional, a possible opening round foe. We know they will be in your sectional. A tough one last night. What are your thoughts after you've had a practice now and some time to digest that game?
I think part of what happened with us last night is that we didn't finish around the rim very well. I think they were a strong team. They had good positioning. They put us in some unfortunate situations where we had open looks and we're just not finishing through contact sometimes, or we're going a little bit faster than maybe what we're used to and just not getting the ball up off the glass into the rim. And so we spent this morning just trying to make sure we got back in rhythm, making sure that we know how to finish through contact. We really didn't do a great job on the boards last night. We allowed them to get position on us, and they had second opportunities as well as being able to put themselves in really nice post-up situations. situations close to the rim. And so that's a lot of what we worked on today. We have been very consistent with what we're trying to do and how we're trying to grow as a team. And that was a big game for us last night. And it's more than just being a conference opponent and more than just being a sectional opponent. They have a winning record. And so one of the things that we have to get over the hump is going against a team with a winning record and not giving them a padding in the beginning. I believe that we gave them an 8-0 lead in the beginning of the game, and that happened with Hebron, that happened with LaVille, and then we had to try to fight back. And we do a good job coming back, increasing energy, trying to intensify, but then the other team also puts on a run. And so if we stay with them or ahead of them early, then what happens is the runs can go back and forth and we're still in the game. But to have each time that we put on a run to make it pull even, and then they're able to get a couple plays and get a little bit more distance. And so that's what happened last night, is we couldn't put the timing together with the right rebounds at the right time with the right finishing.
Well, Coach, again, you guys have really, and not that other schools haven't had to deal with this, but again, another postponement you had to make up last week with the Benton Central Bison. Supposed to originally play them on Saturday, correct, was it? And then it got moved to Tuesday?
I think it was a Friday to a Saturday, or a Friday to a Monday, or a Saturday to a Monday, correct?
Yeah, so you had to deal with that again. And unfortunately for you guys, it very well may happen next week. Now, if it ends up being obviously the Winamac game, I'm sure that game would just get pushed aside, because at that point you really can't make it up. Lowell, there's a bit of a small window there if the weather permits, but I'm sure you guys are just probably tired of this weather out there and hope that you can just get through the week without any more cancellations.
That's correct. I think that more than anything else, we're really looking at these last two games as a way to figure out where we can make some changes, what we can do to improve what we're doing. Lowell's a big athletic team. They're very fast. They have a great player in Mantis, and he can put up shots. He's able to get to the rim, and He's a lot of fun to play against, and it's a good learning opportunity to put together a scheme and have to execute a scheme. And so even when we play against teams where they don't have any outcome on the end of our season as far as whether it's going to happen in sectional, or I know some teams look at it like these are the last two games of the season, they don't matter. Well, to us it does matter, because what we're still doing is we're practicing how to put together a scheme. We're practicing how are we going to adjust when a team shifts what they're doing on offense, or they throw a different press at us. And so that gives us opportunities and looks to be self-critical and self-aware of what's important for us. And so I really hope, I love playing in Lowell's gym. It's a great gym up there, and our guys like to go there. And so to be able to be in that atmosphere and on that floor and give our younger guys, our JV, another opportunity to play and to get up and down the floor, I think that's what's really important to us right now.
And this is the Sports Showcase from the SP19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in beautiful DeMont, Indiana, on WOKI97.com. Bernie Gold, the head coach of the Runster Central Boys Basketball Squad, Coach Chad Fulver. Yeah, they call it the Pit, I believe, that gym. It is a very interesting gym out there. You guys will be scoring up out there, hopefully on Tuesday again, weather permitting, which I guess we're kind of all tired of saying that as well. And then you'll have another sectional opponent, Winamac. So you'll have now gotten to play four of your five potential sectional opponents, and at least I guess that's something that for the most part, now watch, of course you'll try the one that you didn't play, but in all likelihood you'll be going into the sectionals playing a team you've already seen, and at least there probably won't be that shock and awe factor.
That's true. I think that we have kept an eye on all the teams that are in our sectional, and we have faced, as of next Friday, we'll have faced all of them that we can during the regular season. And Rochester's the one team that we don't get to face them in the same floor at the same time until sectional, possibly. And so what we've had to do is we tried to scout their common opponents. We tried to see what they're doing on the floor. We're trying to pay attention to what their tendencies are. And if we have a chance to go against them, we're really hoping that the sectional is an opportunity for us to really get our polish on, to grow in a direction that we've been working on now for quite a few weeks. And so that's the exciting thing, is that it really does build to this moment where we're all clean slate as of tomorrow when they give the matchups and the rounds. And so the draw is really fun atmosphere for our guys to be able to get together and enjoy some time and to be able to have that focus on that first Tuesday of sectional.
Well, what will you be doing for the draw? Will you watch it, or will you watch it, listen to with the players out there? Will you be with an assistant, kind of doing your own thing? How does Coach Pulver handle sectional Sunday?
Usually the guys, they do have a get-together. They have a gathering, which is, I think, a lot of fun for them. The last few years, I've actually been down in Lafayette with some of the younger guys in our program that are playing in the Travel League, and they play at different gyms down in Lafayette. And so if we have an opportunity, then I think I'd like to be able to see the guys and have that moment with them. But if I'm down with the younger guys, I've got my head to the radio, or at least to the phone, to be able to listen to what the draw is and where we're going to be. And so it all depends on what those younger guys are doing, because I try to get down there and support them as well.
Well, I mean, I have two questions here. A, would you like, I mentioned this to Coach Shepherd, do you want to have the bye where you only have to win two games? But does it really not matter to you? And then B, would you want to see one of the four teams you've already seen, just because, again, there's not going to be that shock and awe? Would you prefer to have, not so much that you're afraid of Rochester, but just because you haven't seen Rochester this year?
I think for us, we've had the bye the last 2 years, which has been great. And honestly, if you look at the statistics of it, to be able to jump over the first round and get right into the Friday night games, that's great for making sure you get through the Tuesday into having an opportunity to win two games to get the sectionals. So just statistically speaking, that'd be great to get the bye. The reality is that we are going to go, and we're excited to be able to play. And so being able to play on the floor at Winamac this coming Friday, I'd like us to win that game, have a real feel for the floor, be able to roll in. If we have to play on Tuesday, to have it feel more like a home game than an away game, because we're already there. We're just there just a few nights before. And then win on Tuesday, it rolls us into Friday. So now we have some confidence. We feel good about ourselves. We've won two in a row on the same floor. Get that third win and fourth win to put us into regional. So I really feel like what we have to do is we have to catch stride at the right time. And if that means that we sit on Tuesday and watch, or if we get out there and mix it up on Tuesday to get our win, either way, I'm just excited to actually be close to this point of starting, rather than being 8-9 weeks out and talking about it like, okay, guys, this is important. Now we're really there. We're at the point where we're within 10 days of us being able to be in the mix of it.
Yeah, it's such a long book out there. So going forward, starting with the Lowell Red Devils, what's going to be Rensselaer's most important reason why they will be starting with Lowell, cutting down the nets on, I think it's March 7th?
With Lowell, I think what we have to do is we have to make sure we match what they're doing. We have to be the aggressors. We do have to make sure we're owning the paint, and that comes from cutting at the right time to making sure that on the defensive end, we're owning where they're going to move and not allowing them to run where they need to go on offense, taking away their comfortable space and putting them in areas where they don't want to be. And the last couple of years we've played them, we've been able to be tight, and then we have a couple slip-ups, and it changes the game. And so you take away a bank three-pointer last year, and it's a different ball game going into that fourth quarter. And so for us, I'd like to see us run our game plan. I'd like to see us scheme the right way. With Winamac's always a tough game for us. I think it's a tough gym to play. I think it's a fun atmosphere to be over there in Winamac. They're going to be ready to play against us. I know they've come and scouted us multiple times this season. I know they have film on us, and we have film on them. And so we're not walking into a team that we don't know, and they're not playing against a team they don't know. I mean, we know each other very well. We've played for a lot of years against each other, and that's a really good test for us to walk in there and see where we are and play against a good a sectional opponent. And if we can do some of those things and execute, again, a game plan, then that prepares us for being able to potentially have a Saturday practice into a Monday practice and then play immediately on Tuesday. If we have a Saturday through Thursday to be able to practice, that gives us more time to scheme and more time to game plan to make sure that we are ready for that Friday game. So I think that's what sets us up. And the main thing for us is that if we play Tuesday, we know that we'll have a couple games or a couple days to prepare for whoever's going to be Friday. But that's got to be a back-to-back preparation. So we have to be able to scheme for Friday and then have that B scheme and C scheme ready to go, depending on who we would play that Saturday night. And so the reality is we want to be able to pull out the nets. We want to take them and go over to the regional. So that's really what our goal is.
Well, Coach, one final one here. So There was a two-day window if the game does get moved on Tuesday. Will you guys try to make that one up on Wednesday or Thursday, or is it just maybe at that point, is it just, no, we're done. We're not going to try to make this up anymore. How's that going to go? It's not a conference opponent. Well, obviously, you want to get that game in against Lowell. How will that work, or is that just left kind of some of the higher-ups?
It is a higher-up decision at that point. Oftentimes, it's not necessarily that we wouldn't want to play them. I think sometimes it comes down to timing of it. I know that it was a very tight window that we had when we had to bump the Benton Central game. I think we had literally one day for an option because they have so many games toward the end of their season. I don't know right off the top of my head how many games Lowell has left. I do know they play Crown Point in the last couple days of their season.
Have Wednesday and Thursday off, so it'd have to be. But again, the weather doesn't look too promising either Wednesday or Thursday.
Right. And so in that case, it really does come down to the superintendents, the athletic directors. I'm pretty sure that my coaching staff and their coaching staff wants to play. I think that's one of those options and opportunities to be able to get your guys out, just get them on the floor. And honestly, most players would rather be in a game than a practice. I know that we can enjoy practice just fine, but it's a lot more fun to put on the uniform and play in front of a crowd than it is to necessarily strap them on in the gym by yourselves.
Well, Coach, thank you. Best of luck against the Lowell Red Devils and Winnemac Warriors next week, and then good luck on Sunday seeing who your sectional draw is, and we will talk to you next Saturday. It'll just be time for the sectionals, unbelievably.
I know. I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
And that was Coach Chad Fulmer, the Rensselaer Central Boys Basketball Squad. We'll wrap things up when we come back on the Sports Showcase on WOKI97.7.com.
How is Alliance Bank different from the rest?
We're secure. We provide solutions to our clients.
We have integrity. We stand by our word.
We're responsive.
We invest in our communities.
We're reliable. We believe in our team.
The difference is, we are your community bank. At Alliance Bank, we're in this together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, online at myalliancebank.com.
February is KitchenAid month at Fozzie Califf TV and Appliances. Want consistent performance combined with quality you can see and feel? KitchenAid has you covered. Designed by professionals, KitchenAid appliances deliver extraordinary power, strength, and capacity to take on the biggest tasks. See Marty and the boys at Fozzie Califf TV and Appliances in DeMott and Rensselaer for your new KitchenAid appliances.
SP19 American Kitchen and Bar is a unique culinary treat for the whole family. Each weekend, Chef Brian puts his reputation on the line with a menu above and beyond your ordinary weekend restaurant. The five-star entrees paired with your favorite beverage and the delectable desserts have people raving over the creativity of SP19's weekend specials. Plus, their delicious family menu gives you so much more to choose from. Follow them on Facebook for new weekend specials. SP19 American Kitchen and Bar, where champions are made.
And we are back on the Sports Showcase from the SP19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in beautiful DeMont, Indiana. Quickly wrapping up those thoughts I had before Coach Fulmer jumped on. Basically, with the NFL now saying seven playoff teams in a 17th game, but it's all about player safety. So you're going to make players play an extra game in a regular season and take away the bye for another team, all in the thing about making money. It's just ridiculous. And I hope that the players stand up, hold their ground, and don't let it happen. They'll have all the cards next year because the owners want to get this done so they can go and milk the networks for even more money, pocket all of it, because from what it said as of right now, it would just be an extra 200 or an extra $250,000 the players would get for another game. That's kind of ridiculous, asking them to put their body on the line for that and being compensated so little. And they still don't, and some of the owners even thought that with the players asking for more money and closer and even split, some of the owners think that the players were still getting too much. Just amazing out there. Stay tuned to that. And I hope that the players don't cave in for this short-term money, because like Richard Sherman said it best, and I said it too, getting the 17th game, well, it wouldn't happen in this collective bargaining agreement till 2030, then 17 games is just a gateway to an 18-game during the season, and maybe even adding, even at that point, more playoff teams. Who knows what's going to happen going forward? We shall see. Maybe we'll get to the point where we just have all 32 getting in. Well, with that said, I'd like to thank Coach Wes Radke, especially for all season, the head coach of the Rensselaer Central Girls Basketball Squad, as he will not be joining us anymore as their season has come to an end. Great for him to stop by here. Wasn't able to make it 2 weeks ago, and we didn't have the show, of course, last week. So thank you to him again this season for what he's done, and good luck to him next year. Thanks to Coach Billy Shepherd at Yankee Valley Boys Basketball Squad and Coach Chad Pulver of the Rensselaer Central Bombers Boys Basketball Squad. Thank you to ESP 19 Restaurant for their hospitality, like always. Thank you to the listeners out there. Thank you, of course, to the sponsors, as you guys make this possible with your wonderful help out there. And thank you to my great board op out there, Scotty Miller. And we'll reconvene later, him and myself and Jeff Miller, as we Jeff Marlowe, as we will have the Battle of Newton County as the South Newton Rebels take on the North Newton Spartans from South Newton Gymnasium on WOQI. And next week, our final game of the regular season on WOQI, as the West Central Trojans will head to DeMont to take on the Covenant Christian Knights. And as far as Bear Country, no more regular season games. We will find out going on after Sunday what the tournament will have for us in the terms of games. But, of course, Bear Country will be covering Rensselaer Central from Winnemac and as far as they go. Well, Bernie, going here until the next time we cross paths, which will be later on tonight. Take care, everyone.
The Sports Showcase here at SP 19 American Kitchen in DeMott is brought to you by Alliance Bank, CR Repair, Emerson Sondergrath, Fozzy Califf TV and Appliances, Reinforcement Design, RMT Transport, State Street Title, Suburban Propane, and of course, SP 19 American Kitchen.